Hey, everybody. Golf guys, Brent Gunning and Sam McKee. Little late, holiday Monday. These things happen, but we got some news for you today. We'll get to that a little later on, but actually we'll start with a big shout out to TPC Toronto, which is going to host an upcoming Canadian RBC Canadian Open. Awesome for those guys. We'll have more on that later in the show, but I do just want to quickly touch on that right off the hop. Awesome to see those guys getting to host a tournament like our National Open. They've been putting in a lot of work, and again, we'll talk more about it later in the show, but impossible not to start with the breaking news of the day.
Yeah, I think it's funny that, you know, they have the host this year, and then there was the gap, and you're wondering, you're like, and then there's like this place that put all this work into their North course to make it really long, and they got the Golf Canada headquarters, and I was like, starting to put one and two and two and two and starting to figure these things out, and it seemed like it was sort of kind of trending towards that, but it's really exciting, and it's nice to kind of add a new course into the rotation. I've yet to get out there. I'll be really interested to see what it looks like and how long it can actually play, and we'll get more into that with marketing director Brian Decker when we talk to him a little bit later on in the show. But yeah, it's exciting for TPC. Like, we've been long fans of there. I used to golf there before it was even a TPC course, when it was Osprey Valley. Like, you know, it was called the Hoot and the Toot. And like, I've been going there a long time. So it's really, really exciting to see what's happening there. And yeah, that's a huge feather in the caps for a lot of people out there. And I'm looking forward to getting into it a little bit with Decky later on in the show.
Yeah, so am I. Awesome to get another, like you mentioned, another somewhat local course in the Rota, if you will, here. So yeah, they put in a lot of work, well-deserved, and well-deserved by the folks at Golf Canada, too, cultivating that partnership. Somebody who has a newly found partnership, no, this isn't going to be a Rory joke. It's Xander Schauffele. Now has a partner. Yeah, you like that. It is Xander Schauffele. He is now a partner with the Wanamaker Trophy. I think it might be bigger than him. It's definitely broader than he is. I don't think taller. The Wanamaker's huge. But, man, I know you never thought you'd hear these words escape anybody's lips, but Xander Schauffele, major champion. The floor is yours, McKee. Just how shocked are you?
Yeah, been doing a lot of crapping on Xander over the past few years, and I was ready to crap on him again as a man who had a little bit of financial interest in Bryson DeChambeau. I was rooting heavily against him towards the end of that golf tournament. So you're more locked into what he's doing. But it seemed that he really did turn a corner throughout the day. And there was a couple short misses. There was a little bit of shakiness throughout. And even on the 18th hole, right, where that was about as shaky a birdie as you're going to make if there's a possibility of one. Hits one to the lip of the bunker. He has his feet like in the bunker, no solid ground. It was actually funny, and I know you noticed it. They kind of talked about it on the broadcast, where he was looking at it from outside the bunker for a long time, and then he actually got in and kind of figured out what a massive job it was going to be to hit a good shot, where he steps back out. And he hit a four iron of his life, hits it up towards the apron of the green. Great shot, really, with those stakes. And then chips one to 6 feet, right? 6-7 feet. And it was just the perfect range where if you make it, you're supposed to make it. But if you miss it, it's like a brutal choke job. So that's, to me, why I thought he might miss it. And boy, did he try to miss it. That touches all parts of the cup, goes around and down. Almost reminded me of the Wyndham Clark putt at the at the Players.
LACC?
No, at the Players. Oh, right. No. Players when he just rimmed one out and Scotty ends up winning because he misses the putt on 18. But yeah, man, I give him full credit. He shoots the 62 on Thursday. You're thinking, oh man, this is the perfect thing for him to do, right? Like, there's just the jokes right himself. And he dunked on me. He went right in my face, slapped me in the face with a great performance, and I have to give him his full due. It's been a long time coming for him. He's been floating around these leaderboards, but give him his full credit. He was excellent down the stretch.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was nails. You know, Bryson goes and posts a number, for anybody else, it's not posting a number to chase because he was ahead. But for Schauffele, it felt like it was a number to chase. And, you know, let's also put a pin on it this finally. That was Xander Schauffele versus Xander Schauffele for a major championship there down the stretch.
And, absolutely.
You know, we have a lot of great rivalries in this game. I think that might have been our greatest. And for once, we saw Xander Schauffele the person instead of Xander Schauffele, his, like, conscious come out on top. So he misses the cut. I just want to like take a spin through Xander's kind of major resume here. Going back to 2022, he misses the cut at the Masters. Since then, he has been top 20 in every major, including three top 10s. You know, he was eighth at the Masters this year, top 10 there last year. This is a guy who is just always in the mix. Now, some of these are, I'll use your term for it, Rory-esque top 10s, where it's a low round on a Sunday, but you still got to give him credit. And, you know, it's funny. I hadn't quite thought of it this way until my buddy Ben Ennis posted it to me on Fan Morning Show was, what do we do now? This is like the Jim Ralph when the Leafs won a playoff series. It's like, well, this was our tenant. This was our North Star in the game. It's like Scottie Scheffler will lose and Xander Schauffele, or sorry, Scottie Scheffler will win and Xander Schauffele will lose. Losing this guy, it's like it was one of the chief narratives we had going on. And I honestly hadn't thought of it that way, but it really is like, what do we do now?
Yeah, I will say it would be nice if Colin Morikawa could have put 1 ounce of pressure on him. Right. And the thing is, it's like other guys that were playing great, like the Hovland DeChambeau pairing was the one that was the true threat to him. And there are two groups ahead of him. Right. So he plays with Colin all day, who Dottie absolutely drops a like a 1993 rap ether on him that he's been holding an ice pick in his hands all day, which, by the way, next time we play, bud, you better believe that's coming out. I'm hammering you with that one. But like he just was brutal and you could feel that. Any bit of like a guy going nuclear. We saw it last week, Gunner, with Rory going crazy at Wells Fargo, and he just completely melts down. So I don't think that that can be lost here when we have this conversation, that the guy he played with played maybe the most meek round of final championship golf for a final pairing. All pars. And I think he made one bogey and one birdie. Like just par city, all pars. And that, to me, was a huge factor in it. But I'll give him credit. He had the birdie 18. He knew he had the birdie 18. So you got to give him credit for that and some other, you know, he's clearly played great on Sunday. But I think a huge part of it was the lack of pressure put on him by Morikawa. He was brutal on Sunday.
You know, that's a really good point. Like Morikawa, and it's so funny the way golf works because, again, we were just talking, you know, heading into the week, talking about what's at stake for all of these guys. And Morikawa is the example I kept using is sometimes these guys get shot out of a cannon and to start their career. It's like he won his third major. He won his eighth major. He had two already. And you think it's just going to be so easy for them. And then I was thinking, oh, no, don't pick this week to buck your head back up and make me look like an idiot. But ultimately, he came back to who he was. Plenty else to get through from the tournament. Quick chance for you, just thoughts on Valhalla. Cool venue, at least that was my memory of it. Looked quirky. I didn't have a problem with it. I know a lot of people were angry at the kind of like 20 under finishing score for the PGA Championship. I'm not going to get too irked by it, but what about you?
I think there's a lot of similar conversations about Torrey Pines when was it when John Rahm won the US Open there, right?
Yeah.
But like a golf course that creates a leaderboard that we have, and sure, it's probably a few too many under, right? Like we can all agree that 20 under isn't probably a number that should win a golf tournament, or 21 under because there's two guys at 20 under with Bryson getting there on 18. I liked the tournament a lot, and I thought it was an aesthetically pleasing course. There was lots of things that fit my eye. I thought it was hilarious, and you know, the broadcast is clearly doing a huge sell to T-Mobile on that 13th hole. But like Immelman was pushing this narrative that like it was a reasonable thing to go for it on 13. I'm like, that is not a reasonable golf shot. These guys are so money with their wedges. Just knock a 6-iron down the middle of the fairway and hit 1 to 3 feet and tap in. Like going for it on that was not a reasonable thing. But other than that, I liked most of the holes. I thought the split fairway one was a little bit, you know, a little bit hokey, a little bit Mario golfish. But when you get a leaderboard like that with all the top guys in the game battling down the stretch and it comes down to 18, how can you complain too much? That's what I'm asking. Like we've had some kind of dud finishes in these majors where guys run away. I loved having everybody that was in it. Every superstar was there. I thought it was awesome to have that aspect. So a little higher than I wanted from the number, but yeah, I can't hate on it too much. I thought it was a great tourney.
No, I think you nailed it there. The number doesn't even bother me so much. I would loathe it if every major ended up that way. I think I would just like actually vomit if the U.S. Open ended up with a score of that.
Of course.
But for a PGA championship, I'm cool with it. They're going to Quail Hollow next year. I bet Rory wishes that was this year, but not meant to be. So a couple other things from this one. Again, we have lost our best player in the world without a major, I think. Anyways, or at least maybe our most accomplished player, because I think best is a little nebulous. Like, I think a lot of people would say, I don't know, give me Victor Hovland over Xander Schauffele. But I think Hovland, it's crazy to say about a guy who's as young as he is, mid-20s, but he kind of, to me anyways, jumps to the top of the list as the best player without a major now.
Yeah, I was trying to think when you said that to me earlier, like, is it Åberg? Like, I don't know.
So like, I have, listen to this, I have the
guys,
world.
All these guys have gotten one. That's the thing, so, like, all the guys who were the best player in the world to not have one, like, Morikawa got one, now Xander gets one. Like, it just feels like these guys have gotten them. Scheffler got one.
Yep. Here's the world golf rankings of starting from guys who do not have a major. And again, like Wyndham Clark, major winner, ranked fourth in the world. He's got one. It's Hovland fifth. Åberg is the sixth ranked golfer in the world right now. Cantlay is the eighth ranked guy. But then you get to like the Max Homa of the world. And God love Max Homa. And I don't think anyone's sitting here saying he can't win a major. But I don't look at Max Homa as a guy who it's his blood bright to win a major the way we talked about some of like Monty forever is like best player in the world without one. Homa's kind of on, he's the line of like demarcation for me, because then you get to your Thagalas, your Tommy Fleetwoods, and it's like, okay, it could happen. I'm not exactly holding my breath on it, but yeah, I think it's got to be Hovland or Cantlay. I think Åberg, he's only played in two majors, so we should probably give him a little more time to get one of these things.
And was he in the final pairing or second to last pairing at the Masters at his first ever performance, and was definitely the biggest story outside of Scheffler? So we'll give him a little bit of a break. I think he missed the cut this week, but I think we'll give him a bit of a break, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess Hovland and Cantlay, like, they're kind of opposite guys. Hovland feels like he is this comet. Cantlay feels like David Duval
big time.
Yeah, so I think it's got to be those two guys there. We got to talk about your boy, the man who almost ended up in a playoff. I was coming around. Now I didn't join you pre-tournament getting in on Bryson, but I did before the final round getting in on him. So I was with you, but in terms of financial backing, but I just found myself pulling for the guy. There's, you know, if it would have been him versus Koepka, I probably would have been pulling for Koepka, but there's just some element to Bryson that it's hard to root against right now, and I didn't think I would ever be able to say that about Bryson, because I thought it'd always be really easy to root against him, and quite honestly, it's not right now.
Can I ask you a honest question that may sound absurd? How much of it has to do with the hat?
It's not absurd at all. Like, it's the hat was such a signifier of him being him. And him going, no, I'm different. No, guys, like, I am different. It's like, okay, sure, Bryson. Yeah. The hat is such a big part of it. Even his, like, and I think part of it is it's just guys grow up. They kind of settle into the real version of whatever it was he was trying to be. It's like, even his dumb Live logo, I'm like, you know what? That's perfect for him. It looks dumb, and it's perfect for him. He doesn't have his dumb hat on anymore. He just seems to have, I don't know, normalized, for lack of a better term. He grew up. Like, this was a guy who we were all laughing at when he was 25. Mm-hmm. God, please don't have put a mic in my face as strong as he was at 25 years old, saying Lord knows what. And I just think he's kind of maturing, growing up, and I love it. Yeah, honestly.
Like, if you zoom out and look at what he is, there is so much to like, right? And listen, even as world's number one Bryson guy, like, there was a stretch there where it was a tough defend, right? Like, we think about the par 67 stuff at the Masters. Yeah. Like, there's all, we don't need to go through all the stuff, the Koepka beef with him and getting people kicked off the course or calling him Brooksy and all this stuff. I get it. But, like, I think his game is an incredibly exciting one. Like, he hammers the ball. He's got a great short game. Like, his putting has come around. Like, he hits that massive putt on 18 to get himself into the conversation for a playoff. He had multiple hole outs at these majors. Like, you think of the one on 18 on Saturday at the Masters. You think of the chip-ins, that putt, on Sunday, where he's off the green and he puts it in. And he just seems to have the crowd behind him. Like, I can't think of a guy whose public perception has swung so massively in such a short period of time, especially with the Live stuff. Like, I honestly think, like, a huge part of it is just his social media presence and his, like, kind of dorky, fun personality that people tend to, like, I do have some videos where I watch, I'm like, Jesus, Bryson, this is cringy. But people do like it. And, like, he's great on TikTok, buddy. He's great on YouTube. He plays with all the good guys. He plays with, all, like, you know, that Grant Horvat, who maybe is good, too. I don't really know. I'm too old to know that stuff. But, like, he has a good online persona, and he seems likable, hits the ball a mile, exciting game. I'm loving this Bryson's renaissance, and this is a really thing, like, a thing they'll tell you. Sucks that he's not on the PGA Tour, because I wish we got more of it. I really do. I you know, as my Larry Liv, I wish he would come back, because he's been great, and it's exciting, and he's clearly one of the best players in the world. There's just no question.
So I will say, I don't disagree with you that I see him here, and I want him back, but I actually think he has been helped most by Liv of everybody else. Like, Koepka is
like
the
less
exact
of him, you mean?
Yeah, there's so much less of him. It's like he gets to be the like character on the sitcom where it's like, whoa, look who's in town for two days.
The,
it's
the,
Bryson.
The cheesy, and claps when he walks onto the set.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas Koepka is the exact opposite. It's like he suffers from it. It's like out of sight, out of mind, and that's bad for him. With Bryson, it's the exact opposite. And I will just say this. I wanted him to get this major so bad because I loathe, and you and I have talked about this on, you know, a million shows we've done on The Fan about other things. I loathe these teams or players that have won titles in COVID, and it's like they've done it. But kinda. I wanted him to stamp home that U.S. Open with another major yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, he won the one at Wingfoot. There was no crowd there. The crowd would have been all over him at Wingfoot, and it was just night
and
day.
Yeah, that was at the height of his, like, hatedness.
Yeah, him and the Dodgers were just, like, just shaking hands, doing the Spider-Man meme, loving no crowds during COVID. Because, yeah, that was at the heart of it all. Anything else on Bryson? Because I think he was awesome this weekend. Fun to see him. I would like to give him one additional invite to, like, one of the elevated events. Because I do want a little bit more. But I don't need him at, like, the John Deere or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
the
he wouldn't play
stop
that
is.
They wouldn't play that anyway. I mean, if he's going to act like a PGA Tour player, he'd only play like the elevated ones, and he'd just go away the rest of the time. But yeah, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was an awesome weekend from him, and yeah, like the public perception, the approval rating has just gone up. So good on him, because he's earned it. He's been, you know, every time he's been at the majors, he's. I think the Masters thing was a big turning point for him, where he was really good. He was in the mix. He seemed like, you know, he was a little bit more respectful of the course this time. That was just an awesome thing. And to have him kind of piggyback on that performance with another good major performance and, like, paired with all the online stuff and, like, his social media acumen, I think it's been a great year for Bryson. And I hope it continues at the U.S. Open, because I just love watching him play.
Yeah, I am right there with you. And I'm trying to remember, Koepka was on the Ryder Cup team, so there's a world where we get, like, a Bryson DeChambeau in Montreal for the President's Cup. I think it's a PGA run
event. Yeah, yeah. Because I was wondering because I remember I sent out a tweet talking about how Cam Smith, because Weirzy was talking about how Cam Smith and Neiman weren't going to be on the President's Cup team. Mm. And I was sour about that because I'm like, oh, well, we'd actually have a real shot with those two guys. And then our good golf friend Adam Stanley corrected me and said that there's a PGA sanctioned event, so they will not be there.
Ah, a shame. Oh, well, there's time, I guess, although I don't expect this thing to thaw out anytime soon. All right, we got to get to the lead. I know a guy won a major, and Bryson was involved, and there were fun things. But the best player in the world truly tried to touch the son of Tiger Woods and got himself arrested before the first round or the second round of a major championship. Then went out and played well. Finally caught up to him on the Saturday in Scottie Scheffler. Spending Friday morning in the clink and then still posting around under par. Obviously, it eventually caught up to him, but this is like just golf Mad Libs. It sounds like somebody made up this story in a lab. I still can't believe it happened. A week later, it almost like feels fake, to be perfectly honest.
It was a wild time. I'm not sure I've ever had more fun on the radio than I did with you and Ennis that morning. It was just electrifying as the details poured out and we're arguing about if he's been released or not. It was incredible. I truly, there's not many things I've been proud of in this business, but I love that. That was so fun. I think I have a few thoughts on this. The first one is, if I'm Ted Scott, I'm like, hey, buddy, you know, your first round over par literally the whole season, your boy wasn't on the bag. That percentage going up to 25%. Like, you got to go a little north here. It's crazy. Like, obviously there was some extenuating circumstances, but he literally shot -4 the day he was in jail. So I think, Ted Scott's going to, his price is going to be going up. Yeah, I get that it caught up to him on Saturday, and that's just a lot of adrenaline and all that stuff. But I think it's pretty remarkable that he found a way to go back out the next day and shoot a 65 and get himself into the top 10 again. Like, incredible. You think if he had have just been shot a 68 on the Saturday and not blown himself up, what did he shoot, 73? Like, shoot a 69, a 70. There's a pretty good chance we're talking about him winning this golf tournament again, right? Like, one bad round where even to shoot a 73 is so absurdly good, and have it be his first round over par is incredible. But yeah, I thought he looked more like himself on Sunday. He talked about what a mental toll it took on him. I get it. But yeah, Teddy Scott, give me more money, buddy. I'm the whisperer, the Scotty Scheffler whisperer.
Yeah, did you see who's caddied for him on the day that Ted Scott could?
I did not.
It was the PGA Tour chaplain that did it for him, because of course it was. It was the basically priest that follows him around.
Oh my God, shocker! Yeah.
I know, just like perfectly on brand. I'm so upset that the charges are apparently being dropped. Although I feel like every other day I see different news on that. If the charges are dropped, I'm going to be very upset, because I would like to have seen some type of civil litigation where they go, "Your Honor, the golf world was robbed of the calendar slam. It was coming. It would have happened. Even the birth of a child couldn't have slowed him down." What I would have given to see that. All right. Anything else
I actually have one more Scheffler thought. Have you seen the video of him playing basketball?
Yes, I have. I love this. There is nothing I love more than dudes who just love playing sports. That guy clearly just loves to get it in. I mean, he's 6'3", he's a big guy. I'm sure he played a little.
Oh, he's looking great. I was like, is this Peyton Pritchard out here? This guy's balling. He got a sweet jump shot. He's passing the ball around. I just think it's hilarious. Everybody's like, all golfers. It's like, it's like, it's not even a sport. It's like you get 6'3", Scotty Scheffler in a gym. It's like, oh yeah, obviously he's going to be the best player. Like, shocker. No.
I've given you and Bourne my line about this. It's my least favorite thing in the world that Steph Curry, who's like a good golfer, goes and we got to pretend like he could be a tour player.
Yeah,
he
just like dedicated himself. Stupid.
Nobody sees that video and goes, let me tell you something. Don't let Scottie Scheffler get in the big three. Don't let him. Scottie Scheffler, Gary Woodland, and I don't know. VJ's
Scottie tall. Scheffler is a problem on the court. Yeah. Like, no.
You don't want that. No, that's never going to happen.
He's a bag of milk tall guy who can get buckets. That's allowed. And it's go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know if you saw it, but Lakers two guard Austin Reeves played in the Monday qualifier at the Corn Ferry and shot a 76. I don't know. There's like a little NBA Jam two-man game that could be happening.
That's pretty good, Austin though. Reeves 76? I'd take that. Man.
Especially at like Corn Ferry qualifier competition or conditions. I would definitely take that.
I do love, though, that he went about it that way instead of being like, I'm Steph Curry. Can I play in this tournament? Let me play this tournament.
I don't disagree. I agree that that's the right way to go about it. I also think Austin Reeves would have gladly gone the Steph Curry route and just played in the tournament. I think he gladly would have taken them up on that.
It's first time for everything, Gunner, and you're right. They're right.
All right. This is awesome. Let's talk to Brian Decker here as we continue getting you set for the RBC Canadian Open. That's coming up next week. And then also we're going to have the RBC Canadian Open coming to TPC Toronto in 2025. So talk to Brian Decker about that. Very, very happy to be joined by Brian Decker, Director of Marketing and Communications at TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. Brian, always good to talk to you, man. It's been a while since I've got to touch base with you, and congrats on the big news today, man.
Gunner, Sam, always appreciate the chance to talk to you guys. And big news for us today, proud moment. And we're excited to finally have the big news that we've been sitting on for a little while out there in public.
Yeah, so how long have we been sitting on it, buddy? Where's my scoop?
Well, you know what? I started working here in 2018, and it was something of a faint rumor back then. And gradually over time, it's become a little bit more of a I don't want to call it the worst kept secret in Canadian golf, but there were certainly some people who had an inkling this announcement was coming today. So I don't know. I must have lost your number or your email address to send you the scoop and have you break the news over Twitter.
I don't know how you could lose his number when he is, I imagine, texting you like every single day.
Oh,
like,
here
we
go.
You got an opening out there? Is there room
here
for a single?
Go.
Think I could sneak out there?
Is that the guy who's been asking me for a hookup for a tea time and a rope hat? I guess that's the guy. That's all making sense now.
Decker, I mean, you mentioned it, kind of a worst kept secret, the connection with Golf Canada, the building of the monstrous putting green you guys have got up there. I mean, we'll talk about the tournament and what it means to have our National Open come in there in a couple of years, but can you just talk about the work you guys have been taking on there? I mean, you mentioned you joined in 2018, that's sort of around the time, I think I played there once or twice before, but then I became a lot more familiar. You just talk about the changes you've seen at TPC Toronto in your time there.
Yeah, I came at the right time. I've certainly seen it all, you know, right in that first summer we joined the TPC network and became the first Canadian facility to do so. And, you know, that was really a watershed moment for us because that was kind of the start of this facility building relationships with all the different stakeholders and people within the Canadian golf community. And slowly over those last few years, all those relationships have strengthened. And you look at every major organization that runs tournaments, that's involved in the game of golf, that's involved in investing and growing the game of golf. I know it's a bit of a overused catchphrase, but truly everybody that's involved in that process, we've been fortunate to have that relationship kind of grow with. And so, you know, things have just kind of progressed from over time. And you know, I think that there's definitely a bit of a joke that, hey, you know, this is the worst kept secret and this has been obvious for a long time. But truthfully, like to get to the point today where we are to announce this tournament, it takes a lot of work behind the scenes. It's been a lot of stuff where, you know, making sure that we're absolutely ready. Everybody who's involved is absolutely ready. And, you know, we're fully invested in getting this tournament off the ground for 2025. It's taken a lot of stuff behind the scenes. So, you know, you don't ever want to count anything as a sure thing. But thankfully, seeing all those relationships build with the PGA Tour, with the TPC Network, with Golf Canada, like you mentioned, just seeing all those relationships come together, that's what's allowed us to get to this point today.
So what do you think the most exciting part about this is, Decky, from your perspective, like for TPC?
Well, I'm an absolute golf sicko. I'm a golf nerd. And so for me, you know, seeing all these guys take on this golf course that's publicly accessible, like that's to me the most exciting part is this is a publicly accessible championship golf course, right? You look at the rotation of Canadian Open courses, awesome, awesome facilities. I love St. George's. Hamilton, I think, is going to be amazing this year with the renovation. But unless you've got a hookup and you've got an invite, you can't just go out there and play it. You know, we're completely publicly accessible. Anyone can book a tee time, come play the North Course. And, you know, for us to be able to see people, you know, be able to play the golf course that they're going to see tour players on next year, that they're going to be like, hey, I remember when I hit it there on six. That's not that hard a shot. I can get out on the green from there. That's what's really, really getting me excited about having this tournament next year.
So just a couple of logistical questions. Just is it the pure North Course being played? I know sometimes, I mean, you guys are lucky enough to have three spectacular courses there. Sometimes they'll make kind of a composite. Is it just going to be the North Course? Is that still a little bit up in the air, or has that been kind of firmly determined, do you know?
Well, I'll tell you, Gunnar, the number of times I've looked at a satellite image of the golf course and thought, well, maybe you should cross over from here from 16 over to North number 5. Maybe you could do this. No, I'm joking. The North has been renovated and specifically for the purpose of hosting an event like this. We did a full-scale renovation of the golf course starting last year, wrapped it up before the winter came. And, you know, we've been really pleased to see the golf course in awesome condition to start this year. And it's all done to be, you know, that big boy ballpark championship test. And that's what we're going to see the tournament on. We're going to have the Fortinet Cup Championship on PGA Tour Americas later this year. So we'll get a nice little taste of how the pros take it on, and that's what this golf course is designed for, is big events like this.
So, yeah, like I said, you got three wonderful tracks there. Obviously, you guys have poured a ton of work into the North, rightfully. So what are the kind of characteristics? You mentioned it. You got to stretch it out if you want to play championship. I mean, we won't get into the bifurcation of the game right now. We'll save that for another day, Decker. But you know you need a big ballpark if you want to host a championship these days. What else went into it aside from, I'd imagine, lengthening it a bit when you guys retooled the North?
Certainly the length is something people will notice. The scorecard now measures 7,445 yards. So it's a long course, five par fours that can play over 500 yards. But, you know, the thing that really stands out to me and talking to Ian Andrew, the architect who took us through this renovation process, you know, getting inside his mind and what he's trying to accomplish, the thing that I think people will notice is all the spots that you're trying to get to off the tee as a tour player. Not that I'm putting myself in those shoes because I can't reach any of these bunkers, but all the spots you're trying to get to, that's where the trouble is, right? Like you put a bunker there, you bring in just a little bit of fairway pinching, all the spots that, you know, before you could just let dog loose and just let it rip and hit it kind of anywhere around the ballpark. All the spots that you're trying to get to, that's where the trouble is. And it's going to make players think about, okay, how much risk do I want to take on when I'm hitting off the tee? What angles do I want to try and set up into these greens? Because, you know, the greens have always been awesome on this golf course. Doug Carrick, the original architect, did an awesome job, you know, laying out this golf course and putting together 18 awesome greens. And we didn't touch those at all for the renovation because we think they stand out really well. But what the renovation has done is made, you know, going back tee to green, it's made it matter a little bit more the way you're going to attack these holes. And I think people are going to see, hey, you know, there's a reason they put this bunker there, this fairway pinch here. There's a signature tree on the 18th hole, which I think is going to be really consequential for tee shots. And here I am. I'm going off on golf sicko mode. And
no, it's good.
Going off on golf architecture nerd stuff. But I think it's really exciting because people are going to be able to see that and appreciate it when they're coming out to watch the tournament next year.
So a couple big questions here. Like, are you guys going to put out the 7,500-yard tee boxes for the public to play? Or are you going to be out there with the marshal trying to get the pace of play up if that's available?
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam. I played it last week.
Oh, you
from
did?
The championship tees. I did. You can go out and play it if you want. The championship gold tees are back there. I would not recommend it for somebody of my abilities. Definitely, just had to do it once just to see, and was quickly humbled by the new golf course. But those tees are out there. And so for anybody who wants to say, hey, I want to go see what it's like, I want to go take on the Canadian Open level golf course, it's there for you.
I love that. And the next one, if you want to break some news, what hole is going to be the rink hole? What oh. Is it the down the hill par three there? I forget what hole that is. It's a beautiful par three, kind of overlooks. Maybe that won't be the one. I'm trying to think of the number that is, and I can't think of it off the top of my head.
You are thinking of number 14.
Correct.
The beautiful scenic hole in the back nine. Someone call it a signature hole.
Yes.
I'll leave that to Golf Canada to break that news. But let me just say, I've seen a few renderings of some hockey boards along that hole, so it would not surprise me if number 14 was indeed the rink.
Love it.
There we go. Look at that. That's it's not a scoop, but it's not a scoop here on the Golf Show. So, Decker, I'll give you a chance to plug it here. I mean, you guys have obviously poured your heart and soul into this North course, but, you know, unlike McKee and I, you guys can walk and chew gum at the same time. What else have you had going on up there at TPC? I mean, there's not that it affects the golf, but it's always remarkable how many shovels you guys could have in the ground and how many projects you could have on the go while still letting me enjoy my time up there. What else is on the go right now up in Caledon?
Yeah, one of the fun parts of getting ourselves ready and really scaling up our business to get ready for the 2025 Canadian Open announcement is that we had a lot of other things that we pushed the gas pedal on to get ready for this year. And, you know, chief among those is the new clubhouse. I'm sitting in it right now. It's 65,000 square feet, and it's got pretty much everything you can imagine. It's got an immersive Canadian Golf Hall of Fame experience. You can walk through the exhibits. You can see the hoodie that Adam Hadwin was wearing when he got absolutely wrecked by that security guard. It's hanging in the front hall. Two Brothers, our new flagship restaurant, just an unprecedented selection of amazing craft beers, awesome food.
Unprecedented. Love that.
I listen, unprecedented is not an exaggeration. It's, our president, Christian Humanek, is a bit of a craft beer aficionado, and that's represented in our choices here at Two Brothers, the restaurant. Event space, like you mentioned, the putting putting course is under construction, just about to be done. So all new 50,000 square foot practice facilities. There's a lot of stuff here. The amenities, the facility has really, really gone from being something where we used to have three great golf courses, but right, it was like, oh, there's really three really good golf courses, but not much else. To, you know, we really outfitted the facility with pretty much everything you can ask for from a golf perspective. So pretty exciting stuff all through the board.
Love
well, they have you as a golf sicko, and the fellow you just mentioned there is a beer sicko. You're speaking McKee and I's language, so not that you needed to twist our arm, but we'll gladly come up and check out how wonderful
sir.
It is. Decker, we're so happy for you folks. I mean, you've been great to us over the years, and I'm sure TPC Toronto is going to be great for Golf Canada as well, the partnership you guys are forming. So thanks so much for jumping on with us. I really appreciate it, Decker.
Thanks, Decky.
Well, look forward to having you out for a round of golf, the craft beer, and of course a rope hat from McKee. Gotta
yes.
get one of those on the
okay. Two row pads. One for me as well. There he goes. Brian Decker, Director of Marketing and Communications at TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. That's been The Golf Show. Brent Gunning and Sam McKee.